Can you talk a little bit about sort of the spectrum of what you see in terms of end-stage disease? Unfortunately, there are still, I guess, 11,000 deaths from this disease. Yeah. What are the spectrum of clinical issues that occur in that setting? Any sort of pearls you have about management, and where does hospice fit in?
Well, I think a couple of things. First, the reputation of head and neck for being a difficult disease to treat not only devolves from the population that we manage that is changing now, so we're seeing this younger, more effective group of individuals into treatment, but it also evolves from the pattern of recurrence, which was primarily local regional. So you would have patients who not only had very debilitating and morbid surgery, but then had local regional recurrences with large kind of fungating tumors. So that presentation for recurrent disease is actually far less than we've seen before. We have very few patients now who actually have massive necrotic and really odorous recurrences in the neck. And we have patients now who have some distant metastases, some local regional recurrences, frequently primary site as opposed to nodal metastases. And so the presentation is quite different. We also are curing so many more patients in our own clinic that we can't support our phase 2 trials because we don't have recurrences. So I think that is a manifestation of both the younger age group, the more effective therapies, and the kind of combined modality treatment and team approach that we have. For those patients who come to us with recurrent disease, for the elderly patients who we see who have had to have reduced therapy and then are at risk for recurrence, we have these therapies that we can give. We have the platinums, we have 5-fluorouracil, we have the taxanes, and we have the EGF receptor inhibitors. And we use all of these judiciously and directed at palliation to avoid toxicity in these individuals. When the patient gets to the point where they're having a lot of symptoms and problems and they've run out of drugs, we really have conversations with them about what they want to do. And it's very hard when a patient says to you, I want to be treated, I want every chance I can have. To rob them of hope is just a terrible thing, particularly in their last days. So generally the patient knows, and you have a kind of understanding that they're dying, but they want you to do something. So we will try methotrexate, Alimta, you know, any of a variety of drugs, and we cast around, and occasionally you'll be lucky and find something that will have a remarkable response. And if your patient is very good about it and understands the circumstance and is emotionally ready, having the hospice conversation with them is extremely important, and also preparing the rest of the family as we go through this. So part of the art that medical oncologists are involved in, and I think more so perhaps than radiation oncologists or surgical oncologists, because we see the end-of-life issues with these patients, and they really don't to the extent that we do. We have to have these conversations with the patients and their families and kind of prepare them emotionally and slowly as we get to that point.
Now, is the palliative problem usually local?
Currently, we've had both. We're seeing both distant metastases and local regional recurrences. Usually our local regional failures tend to be internal